From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, August 13th. I'm Jonathan All, in for Abby Larico. It's frog hunting season in Missouri, and thousands of local hunters are catching and cooking frogs as they have for generations.
I should cut those ligaments, because if not, they look like they were jumping. But by golly, when she got done, we had a whole platter.
St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports on frog season, a family favorite. That's ahead on The Gateway. During a visit to St. Louis yesterday, U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt announced a congressional effort that would use $5 million in federal defense funds to support the region's geospatial workforce. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports Schmidt met with local defense information and intelligence officials downtown.
The National Geospatial Innovation Hub Advancement Act has cleared two Senate committees. If passed, it would authorize the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency to distribute funds to bolster the region's workforce. The Department of Defense would use the money to help schools and organizations train students in geospatial skills that meet defense industry needs. Jeff Mazers, Director of Government and Industry Partnerships at the Taylor Geospatial Institute. He says the biotech industry here has also flourished from federal funding.
We can see investment in geospatial research that will yield the same kind of innovations. It's going to suck in more growing companies that will yield startups in the geospatial realm.
The NGA's new St. Louis headquarters is scheduled to open in 2026. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Public Schools has been scrambling in recent months to find adequate transportation for students. One week ahead of classes starting, Acting Superintendent Millicent Borichade says 20 additional yellow school buses from transportation company First Student will take students to and from school. Byron Clemens, a spokesperson for the American Federation of Teachers Local 420, says teachers, food service workers, and other staff are ready for students to return, even as Superintendent Keisha Scarlett has been placed on leave.
We are absolutely in favor of investigating everything about the superintendent and coming to the findings that we'll come with, but that's not going to distract us from the opening of the school year.
SLPS officials say they're in process of notifying parents as bus routes are reassigned. Community radio station KDHX is facing a lawsuit seeking to force it to release some of its records to the public. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
A lawyer filed the suit on behalf of St. Louis resident Ann Silverstein Friday. Silverstein says she's a station member who submitted a request to read and photocopy station documents last month and never got a response. She's asking for financial documents, resolutions adopted by the board, and other information. KDHX Executive Director Kelly Wells said in a statement she couldn't comment on legal matters. KDHX lawyers are also gearing up for a trial on August 27th. Station critics are trying to force it to seat two people volunteers elected to the board last year. Board President Gary Pearson has said the volunteer-run meeting where the vote happened had no legal standing. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Former Illinois Auditor General Bill Holland died this weekend at his home in Seattle. He was 72. Holland retired in 2015 after serving as the state's chief financial auditor since 1992. He spent more than 40 years in public service experience, including working for the Illinois Senate President and the House Majority Appropriations Committee. Holland was the state's longest-serving auditor general. His audit of Illinois Central Management Services shed light on former Governor Ron Blagojevich's suspicious activities. Blagojevich was impeached 4 years later. After he was diagnosed with colon cancer, Holland moved to Seattle to be closer to his family. In his obituary, his family writes Holland was known for his sense of humor, and his favorite punchline was himself. It's the middle of frog hunting season in Missouri. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports, people across the state are out catching frogs for dinner until the season ends in late October.
Every year around this time, Scott Boyd and Christine Hibbler head to a marsh outside St. Charles. They wait until about 10 o'clock at night when they wade through the water with flashlights on their heads. They're on a mission to catch frogs.
We're getting ready to go out. We just got a fish basket and some gigs and headlamps and ready to get started. Hopefully we find some. They're real quiet right now, which isn't good.
They are each holding a gig, a long pole with a three-pronged metal spear on the end. Hibbler and Boyd are quiet as they walk through the wetlands. Hibbler stops when she sees a bullfrog's shining eyes.
Get him, Scott.
Boyd jabs the gig just behind the frog's eyes.
Oh, he's a big one.
That's eater size.
Yeah.
Boyd and Hibbler work for the Missouri Department of Conservation, monitoring fellow hunters. Boyd says gigging is the most popular way to hunt frogs. It's cheaper and easier to learn than using guns or a bow and arrow.
Sometimes more experienced guys who are super into deer hunting and turkey hunting give up some of the simpler pursuits and then get back into them when they have kids, and it's definitely baked into the culture.
Hibbler and Boyd have been gigging for years, but Hibbler says there are fewer hunters each season.
It seems like there has been a decline in the number of people who go out and do it. It's kind of seen as old-timey, I guess.
But the tradition is a big draw for some young people. Tucker Lawson, a 17-year-old Potosi resident, says he looks forward to it every year.
I've gigged. That's all I've ever done. You never really know what's going to happen. It's just different every time you go, you know?
Tucker learned how to gig from his mom, Melissa Lawson. She remembers going frogging with her parents and wanted the same for her kids. For her, it's not just about the hunt. It's about cooking and eating frog legs.
At the time when I was little, they go out and they catch these frogs and they come in. She'd make up the batter, and it was flour, salt, and pepper, maybe some onion powder, garlic powder. Take the legs off of them, but she cut those ligaments, because if not, they look like they were jumping. But by golly, when she got done, we had a whole platter.
The Lawsons will fry their harvest once they're home, but Boyd and Hibbler don't wait that long. Once the frog's dead, Hibbler cuts off its legs in one piece.
It causes their nerves to react, and the legs will kick and jump. If you're not ready for it, you're kind of like, what's going on?
Boyd skins the frog, and the legs are ready for breading.
Yep, you get a good coat of mustard, and that just, you won't taste the mustard after it cooks. It acts like a glue to help the breading stick to it. I guess it's a well-known secret.
Finally, they're cooked in a portable deep fryer. When the breading is golden brown, Boyd takes them from the fryer and admires the finished product. He says frogs taste better when they take hours to catch.
With hunting and fishing, you're totally involved in that whole process, and it feels very holistic, and the decisions you make are ethical decisions to put food on the table, and you can feel good about good, sustainable, healthy food.
You don't have to go frog gigging to eat frog legs. Tina Duca has served them at Hodak's restaurant in St. Louis for 22 years.
They look like a chicken leg, and a lot of people said that they taste something.
Duca says some visitors are wary of the dish, but it's a local staple.
I think it's good. Really?
The restaurant has had frogs on the menu for more than 60 years. But Hibbler, the conservation agent, says people have been catching them in the wild for much longer than that.
You know, it really becomes a family affair. It's kind of a tradition to see those kids out there opening day now, and it's something very much handed down through generations.
Missouri marshes will start to fall quiet in October as frogs take shelter from the cold. But large croaking choruses will return in May, revealing the most promising spots to this season's hunters. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our David Cazares edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.